Welcome to Miracles of God with Pastors Joel and Annalisa Jones.
Got to serve somebody, might as well serve the Lord.
Do you know the key to receiving the blessings of the Lord is through obedience? Deuteronomy says, "Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse." The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord, and a curse, if you do not. It's clear, the key to being blessed is obedience, but we have to be willing and obedient. In today's broadcast, Pastor Joel continues the powerful teaching series, A Willing Vessel.
I know he gave me this sermon to say we've got to be willing, you all. Because the devil will put obstacles in your way. I told you, it's like a steeplechase. It's like running laps. It's like running hurdles. You better get ready to jump another hurdle. Each time your feet come down, get prepared because the devil's got another hurdle for you to jump. But that's the training. That's what gets you ready, right? That's the testing that we talk about. So right here, he says, he's telling us that I've already got you picked out. There's a solid foundation. You have to turn from iniquity. And in that great house, you'll be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. That means he wants you useful. He doesn't want Christians that are just going to church. Just going to church. Feeling like you've done something. What'd you do today? I went to church. I don't went to church. You can't say, look, don't talk to me. I've been to church. You didn't even go. Don't say nothing to me. Okay, that's good, but that's not all of it. You got your card. You really do have to activate the card, right? You got your Jesus card, but we really have to activate it. And that's what he's saying. Remember, look at verse 4:22. Which I don't usually read to you all. I'm sure you read it in your prayer time and your study time. It says, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. See, this relationship with God is a heart issue. It's a heart issue. Just like when we pay tithes, right? It's a heart issue. I can't stand over you and say, did you give me my 10%? It's not mine anyway. That's between you and the Lord. It's a heart issue. I've seen pastors just about twist people's arms, about to snatch their purse to get them to give an offering. Because she didn't pay her offering. Well, it wasn't like that, but I heard a pastor. I went to the church and we just sat and it was a small church and it was elderly people. And the pastor was sitting there with his legs crossed. And he was looking all mean and the lady was getting ready to leave the church. She's an older lady and she's getting ready to leave. And the pastor, hey, where are you going? You better give me my money. And the lady, oh, I forgot to tithe. And he may well have snatched a purse. And I said, why the Lord send us to a church like this? I was whispering. I think he wanted me to see. You're not going to be like this. Not at work for me. You're not going to be like this. You're going to preach the true word, and people are going to give out of the goodness of their heart to the Lord. You don't have to go through a song and a dance. Nah, 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 it's tithes and offering time. No, you're not going to do that. It's going to be in their heart because they love me. They love Jesus, right? And that's what he's talking about, being a vessel of honor. No, we don't have to do a song and a dance. You're going to see me with that stuff on my face. That's what it means to be a willing vessel. It involves being not an inanimate object, but similar. We have to know our place. Just like that cup, just like that vase that you have in your living room that holds the flowers. That's his job. You change the water, put in fresh flowers, and the vase is ready. That's how we have to be with the Lord. We have to get away with some, get away from the fact that we do have free will, but our will has to line up with the Lord. Amen? Amen. Just like that vehicle or that truck you drive or that car, you had a choice. If you had a choice of the of a certain car or truck that you was available to you to get you around town, which one would you pick? Would you choose a car that starts up, or would you choose one that sputters? Sometimes that's us. Can you imagine if the Lord had a huge multi-millions of cars, and he looks every morning and say, well, if you knew one, okay. Which vessel am I going to use today? Which vehicle? I'm looking at Trish. I'm just looking at that little smile on her face. But if Trish won't start up, I need somebody. I need a vessel to take, to carry this word across town to this suicidal person that you don't know is suicidal. But that day you just don't feel like smiling. And he's looking for a vehicle to smile. And the devil's working against you because your husband just made you mad. Or your wife. So you come out the house all frowned up anyway. And then somebody come by, that same person that's going to commit suicide walks by you. And they look at you and you go, and you keep walking. And that person goes right around the corner and cuts their wrist. That might have been your opportunity to be that vessel that the Lord wanted to start up. That's what he wants you to do. He wants your engine purring. You know, you guys know how you put them, what do they call them that you put it on your engine? I forget. Huh? Glass packs. See, there, the old. See, Aaron is old school. Put them glass packs on there. What are these? They just run. Sound so pretty, don't they? And you give it a little. That's how he wants us to do. He wants us to idle the right way at the right sequence, right? That takes being a willing vessel. He wants a car that starts up. I'm from Chicago. Let me tell you something. Growing up in Chicago with the buckets my father used to drive, that car had to start up. First of all, you got to dig it out the snow. It's not like California. You got to dig it out the snow. You can't get the ice off the windows till you start it up. So you go in there begging, please start. And if you just get you're not going anywhere. You can't even gun it too much because when it's 20 below zero, with a wind chill factor of 55 below, you can't even sit in there too long. You might get frostbitten. You'll be on the news, man found dead in car, hand on ignition. That's how cold it get in Chicago. So you need a car that's going to start up. Well, we need to put ourselves in that place when the Lord calls us to do something. Amen. We want to be starting up. We don't want any stall tactics. We've got to be able to start up. That baby has to turn over. That engine's got to turn over. So we ought to be able to understand why God seeks vessels willing and ready to move, to carry his word, to carry out his duties, even when we don't feel like it. Even when they misuse you. The Bible tells us in Matthew 5:11, blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of false things about you. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. We have to look past this life right here to really work for Jesus. And you got a lot of pastors that's, I love them, and I said, pray for pastors. Because sometimes we're just human. Pastors get blindsided themselves. They're preaching doctrines that are telling you that it's about now. you know, the life you're living now, you know, the abundant life, the prosperous life. And they're forgetting, and people are trying to be what they see on TV when it's really not that way at all. God is saying, look to me, and I will clear up anything you need. I'm going to provide it for you. But you need to look through this world and look to me, because if we find ourselves start mimicking the world, which is what churches are doing now, we're in bad shape. When we start letting the world come in and govern God's house, we're in bad shape. So we have to look at this word and really, really be astute to the word. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, as it says in 2 Timothy 2:15. And that carries a mouthful, but you all know that scripture, but that's exactly what it means. Diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That means slice this baby up, cut it up and inspect it like that best piece of pie you ever heard. I don't know about you, but when we go to restaurants and Annalisa tastes food that's real good, and it's real good, you know when it's real good. When it's real good, she starts singing and humming. And she says things like, and I have to say, shh. Because you're sitting in one booth and people sitting next to you, and there's a wall, they still hear you. So she's like, And then she starts inspecting it, and she says, I wonder what they made this with. Well, that's how we have to, because she's going to go home and cook it. I said, don't covet the food, just eat it. So what we do is, with this word, that's how we dissect the word of God, right? We should look at it and say, how did he do that? And Paul... And we inspect it. That's how we get it in us. That's how we get a better understanding, right? That's exactly what the Lord wants for us, to be willing vessels. But as long as we keep God at a distance, it's not going to work that way, folks. He's never going to get out of us what he could have get out. He'll use anybody. He can use you, you know. He can use you in all kinds of ways. You go out there and get bit by a pit bull and yell, and send somebody else to the Lord. And say, oh, Jesus, did you see how that dog ate that man up? He used you. You got eaten up by that pit bull, but he doesn't want to use you that way. But that's all he can use you for. That might be what happens. It's better to let God use you in his way. Now, if you get bit by a pit bull, and you're doing everything the Lord told you, well, that's the way it's going to happen. I don't know what else to say. Sometimes it happens that way. You know, you look at Job and everything. Sometimes it happens that way. But basically, he can use anybody. He can use Nebuchadnezzar, right? He used him in a certain way, right? He used King Saul because they wanted a king. And he said, okay, you got him. And then they said, oh. So he uses people, but he's got a better plan than we know. We're just the clay. He's the potter. But let's go here. I know we're running short of time. Almost done. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 16:9. It says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro across the entire earth, seeking to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are truly turned to him. That's what I couldn't understand when I first came to Christ. Why should the Creator have to search high and low for folks with hearts turned to him? That's sad, isn't it? We should all be screaming with our hands raised up saying, here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Jesus. Over here, Jesus, come and get me. I'm your man. I'm your woman. I'm your guy. I'm your girl, Lord. Send me today. But that old free will makes us hesitate, doesn't it? Makes us step back sometimes. We pick and choose our availability to God. We want to work when God wants us to work. Many times, God's people will duck out on him when called upon to do certain things. Anybody here ever step back when God asks you to do something? Well, I think we all have. Maybe you didn't even hear God's voice. Maybe you didn't know it was him. You didn't hear his voice coming through the clouds. The clouds didn't open up and say, whoa, and call your name. You didn't feel anything like that. Maybe it came through a stranger who was changing a tire or on a rainy day, and you saw him, but you just kept on going and said, ooh, poor guy. Maybe that was the Lord telling you to just stop over and check on him. I remember my son, when he first got into law enforcement, he didn't know what he was doing, poor guy. And there was a big crash on the freeway. And he was a law enforcement officer, but he wasn't trained to do street work at the scene of a fatality or a crime of a bad accident. And so being a rookie, he didn't know what to do. And he said, Dad, he said, this guy pulled up. He said, I don't know who he was. He said he had on all black skull cap, paratrooper pants with combat boots on, blacked out car. He got out and said, let me help you. He got out and he started popping flares. He put a flare pattern up. He moved traffic. He had some cones. He put them up. He said, then he stood right next to me, Dad. And he looked at my son about that big, about 6'5". He said the guy looked at him and said, I guess we're done here. Got in his car and took off. He said it had to be an angel, Dad. He said it had to be because it didn't make sense. Guy gets over and helps the police. The police don't know what to do. Come on now. But we as Christ followers, that's us, y'all. That's us. And sometimes we take a step back. We forget who's in charge. We forget who's in control. Surely don't go out there and try to stop a semi. I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you to listen and use the wisdom that God gave you and let him use you as his vessel. Like I said, it might just be that somebody needs a smile and you just don't smile and put that person into a tailspin. They said, that's the fifth person passed me up today and didn't smile. I'm going to take my life. Those things happen, okay? You weren't prepared to be that vessel. And sometimes it's not even being outside. Sometimes right here in the church. The Lord might tell you to do something, you don't want to do it. So I need you to, I don't know, put the projector up. He said, no, I want to sing. Okay, sing while you put the projector up. No, I don't want to sing like that. Pastor asked you to do something, said, will you do this for me? And you say, no, not today. You're not denying the pastor, you're denying the Lord. The Bible tells us never tire of doing good works. 1 Corinthians, amen? It says never tire of doing good works for the Lord. It tells us that. What does it say when you're sick? You say, but I don't feel like doing it. I got a tummy ache or whatever it is. Well, the Lord said, pray for somebody else, right? When you're feeling bad. See, it's a win-win situation when we're with the Lord. If we are to be willing vessels for God. And it's just food for thought. We're going to get into this deeper. This is just the introduction. I just want to give you what he gave me. God speaks through his people. He wants to speak through you. He wants to use you for every opportunity, all right? Because if we're ambassadors for Christ, remember, it's part of an inheritance. And with that inheritance, there come some things that we are to do as Christ followers. We shouldn't look like the world, okay? I mean, we're human and everything. We don't have three eyes. We got two eyes like everybody else and no antennas coming out our heads. But basically, there should be some differentiation between us and the way people behave in the world. Pastor, read that last scripture for us, please, and then I'll close out. Galatians 3:28. That's our memory verse for today.
Galatians 3:28 says.
Listen to this.
My favorite.
You say your favorite? Read it, sister.
There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus.
Amen, amen. Now, that's a loaded statement. Paul, the apostle, is saying that no matter who you are now or who you used to be, all are one in Christ. Once we step over, we're all one in Christ. There's not even Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, all are one in Christ. You go to some churches and the churches are so clean cut and all the amenities, and let a homeless man come in their church and sit next to somebody. Let a man come in here with lights on him and sit down next to you. Watch people slowly move their purses. Funny things happen. Mm-hmm. Funny things happen. But if we are really Christ followers, we went to a church like that. That was a church, and I think Annalisa sat down, and one man said, "You're not going to start jumping up and shouting and bumping me in the head, are you?" You see what I mean? I don't know why he said that to Pastor Annalisa. But sometimes we just don't know. But it says we're all one in Christ. And what that means is that God can use any of us for any purpose. Okay? Any of us for any purpose. And we need to understand this. God is not a respecter of persons. That's what it says in Acts 10:34. Peter says that. And in Romans 2:11. So we know that God, he can use any one of us for what purpose? As a willing vessel, because we're going to get into this. We won't get into it today, but it opens up another point to ponder. How does this relate to women being used in positions normally used by men? Oh, that's a debate, isn't it? Why did he say that for? Well, because it needs to be talked about. God says a willing vessel. He said the rocks will cry out. Now, I'm not saying that he didn't put men in position to do certain things. There is a clearly delineated line of authority and leadership, okay? But if you can't find a man to do it, if they won't stay, if they won't step up, he says the rocks will cry out. I don't think he's going to pass up all those women to find a rock. I believe he'll use a woman. And so these are things that we have to think about. All are one in Christ. But we all have to be willing to do the job that God has for us. Amen? Amen. Does that make sense? Is that fair? That's fair. We can't complain if we don't step up to bat. And somebody else does and say, "I'll do it," that's the one that the Lord is going to use. It's not even always the person with the gifts, the person with the talents, the person with the intelligence. I know a lot of educated derelicts. That doesn't mean a thing. It's the person who is willing to roll up their sleeves and show up and say, "Here am I, Lord, use me." Amen. So we're going to continue with this, God willing. We're going to come back next week, and we'll do part two of A Willing Vessel. We'll go deeper and see what the Lord has to say. Amen.
Praise God Almighty. We serve an awesome God, and no one can compare to him. He loves us so much, and all power is in his hands. But he'll never force us to do anything, because he gives us free will. Remember, we always have a choice. Will you serve him? Remember, the choice is yours.
You're listening to Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones. Sponsored in part by Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide in Fairfield, California. We love hearing from our listeners, and it's easy to connect with us on Facebook. Just submit your comments, prayer requests, and praise reports on our contact page at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.org. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor Joel, please let us know. Simply drop us a note using our contact page. We appreciate your faithful support, and pray the Lord continues to strengthen you as you follow Him. Miracles of God is a listener-supported program. Will you help support the ministry by donating today? All financial donations are tax-deductible and accepted on our secure website. Giving is simple. Just click the Donate button on our website. Join us Sundays for worship at Calvary Chapel in the Holy Grounds Cafe at 1180 Western Street in Fairfield at 1 p.m. We also invite you to join us for prayer at 7 p.m. and Bible study at 8 p.m. Wednesdays as we walk through the Bible together. Don't forget to tune into Miracles of God next week as Pastor Joel continues the teaching series, A Willing Vessel. Until next time. God is good.